Amen. May the Lord give the blessing to the reading of his precious word. Well, tonight we come to the last verse in that section, verse 136. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. Dear congregation, in our Lord's earthly ministry, Jesus drew near to Jerusalem, a city which had known the favour of God, yet there were so many there that opposed him. Well, our Lord, he drew near, and he shed tears over it. In Luke chapter 19, verse 41, we read, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and wept over it." He mourned. He considered the plight, the situation before him, the unbelief. They'd been so blessed, but they had so despised God's law. Many years earlier, David here, considering the sins of his enemies, wept. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they kept not thy law. Now we note in the previous verse, there was that request that the Lord would shine upon him. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes, that he would know the light of God's countenance, God's favour. Oh, for the face of God to shine upon him. What a contrasting verse, 136. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. He desires the favour of God. When he considers his enemies, he mourns over them. It so affected him. These are heart-provoking words. When we were last moved in considering the lost, when did we last cry, or at least mourn in our hearts? Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they kept not thy law. Well, tonight I'd like us to consider the simple theme, a river of tears. A river of tears. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. There are 3 points tonight. First of all, many tears. Secondly, much zeal for God. Thirdly, much compassion for sinners. Many tears, much zeal for God, much compassion for sinners. Many tears. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. He was so moved. His emotions were so stirred. There are times when we may find ourselves moved within. The heart beats a little faster and a tear may run down the face. At other times, one may sob and rivers of waters run down the eye and onto the cheek. We may shed a tear, but here we're considering rivers of waters, many tears. Now we have here the word rivers. It can be translated as a small channel of water, as used in irrigation. A stream, a river, particularly out in Israel, they would have these channels of water to irrigate the land. Stone blocks placed alongside each other to form a channel. And these little channels would irrigate the land. Out in Israel, they're well known for their supply of water to farmers. Well, we're thinking not just a drip, but a channel, a stream. The water is flowing. Rivers of waters flow down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. And we're left with this picture that David is so mourning. It's not just one or two tears, but rivers. There's a stream, there's a river when he considers his enemies. Up the road there is the spring, and the water always flows, even in the hottest summer. Do you realize last year this time the heat wave had begun? Yet that little stream was still flowing. On went the heat wave for weeks and weeks, but the stream continued to flow, and the water came down the brook. We think of Dockins Water just over the hills, a little stream. Well, think then of this river, this channel, this stream. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes. The tears flow down his eye and onto his cheek. In Cardiff Bay, there is a water fountain. I don't know if you've seen it. And it's this metal fountain. If you go up close to it, you see the water coming down the fountain. And then some of it splashes out onto the ground. Well, think here. The water, the tear, is coming down the psalmist's eye. And then upon his cheek. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes. He's so mourning. His great grief here. We have some interesting words in Lamentations 2, verse 18. Remember Jeremiah, he's lamenting the scene. Their heart cried unto the Lord, O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river day and night. Give thyself no rest. Let not the apple of thine eye cease. He's giving that exhortation. He's lamenting. He's desiring that others would lament. Let tears run down like a river day and night. There was great sorrow then in the heart of the psalmist. You remember those words in Psalm 116, verse 3, I found trouble and sorrow. I found trouble and sorrow. The psalmist there considered his enemies. Our Lord Jesus Christ there considered his enemies. And he could say, whilst here upon earth, I found trouble and sorrow. He found it. David found it. He found sorrow. And as we consider here tonight, there was this river of tears. He was so moved. What was happening? What had the enemies done? There are times when our heart fills up with sorrow and the tears begin to flow. Rivers of waters flow, run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. Now in a moment we'll consider the great cause here. Let's just think of these tears flowing. And the different reasons why one may be found crying. First of all, in view of one's sin. In view of one's sin. You know, we need to often ask ourselves, how often do we mourn over our sin? Turn with me to Psalm 6 and verse 6. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim, I water my couch with tears. There's the psalmist. He's weary with groaning. He so fills his sin. He makes his bed to swim. Young ones here, what does that mean? Well, he's crying so much. There's so many tears. There's rivers of water coming down over his eye and onto his cheek and onto his pillow. I water my couch with tears. He fills it. I begin with myself, oh, to fill my sin more often. And to my shame, I have to confess, my pillow's quite dry each week. Oh, to know that mourning, at least within, we may not shed tears, but oh, to know that mourning within. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. And there's pain within, the heart is stirred. I am weary with my groaning, all the night make I my bed to swim, I water my couch with tears. Sorrow to some measure is felt. We feel it, do we not? Prone to wander from the Lord we love, and we feel it. And the tears begin to flow, at least there's that mourning within. There was that mourning in Nehemiah's day, in Nehemiah 8, verse 9. The Levites that taught the people said unto all the people, this day is a holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord. They felt their sin. They were told not to weep. There's forgiveness. It's a day of gladness. But prior to that, they had been mourning over their
sin.
How often do we mourn over our sin? How often do we feel it? You know, every day we should humbly be found mourning over our sin, looking unto the Lord for mercy. We know the words of that direction or that pattern prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. So that implies every day we are to mourn over sin, and we're to seek fatherly forgiveness. And as we think this, sometimes why we do not know the joy of fatherly forgiveness is because we're not mourning over sin. It's not always that case, but sometimes it is. Every day we ought to be feeling it. And there's seasons when we're so weary with our groaning. There needs to be a season in the Church of Jesus Christ today when the church is so weary with groaning. Rivers of waters, not just falling down one member's eye, but all the members and all the churches of Jesus Christ. All to feel it. Remember Peter? He backslid, he denied the Lord 3 times. He then was convicted. Matthew 26 verse 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus which said unto him, "Behold, the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly. He wouldn't deny the Lord, but he did. You know, sometimes a Christian can say, "I'd never do that." And they go and do what they say they would never do. And later they're convicted. Remember Peter, he caught the eye of the Lord. Oh, that in a spiritual way we would catch the eye of the Lord. But then Peter, he went out and he wept bitterly. He denied the Lord 3 times. He wept bitterly. For those times when we could have said something, but we didn't, have we mourned over it? Rivers of waters. Secondly, in view of pain. We have those interesting words in Revelation 21 verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. We look to that time when the Lord will graciously and in a merciful way wipe away our tears. One thing that's overlooked often there is the tears of repentance. We'll never mourn over sin again one day. But we think they're also of pain. Neither shall there be any more pain. But in this life, we know pain. Bodily pain can so hit us, and we cry out. Many ladies have cried whilst giving birth. I remember Sharon so grasping my hand tightly because she was in such pain, and she was also crying. But then those tears turned to tears of joy. One may fall over and hurt themselves and break a bone, and they shed tears. You often see children falling over and they graze their knee and they shed many a tear. They come to mum or dad in tears, in a flood of tears. Many tears are being shed in the hospitals of our land this evening hour. Consider for a moment the pain our Lord suffered here upon earth. He was a man of sorrows. He would cry out in pain. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. What pain he faced on the cross. There would have been tears coming down his cheeks as he hung there on Calvary, not only as he was facing the wrath of God, but as he was in great agony. The nails in his hands and his feet, the pain on his joints, oh, he would have felt it. Sometimes we sob, don't we? Because we're in such pain. Thirdly, in view of missing Christ, in view of missing Christ. You remember Mary on the day of resurrection? What a wonderful day. A day of rejoicing. What rejoicing there was in heaven. And what joy there would be known as the day proceeded. But you remember Mary? She was sobbing. And she couldn't control herself. John 20, verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And see if two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto a woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and Jesus saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She was weeping at the sepulchre. The angels noted it. She continued to sob. And our Lord took note, why weepest thou? And what was one of the reasons? She was missing her Lord. When do we last mourn? Sometimes we don't sense the Lord and he is there. There's times when we miss Jesus. That's true, isn't it? There are times when we miss Jesus. I begin with myself. Oh, to grasp him. I held him and I would not let him go. Song of Solomon 3, verse 4. Oh, there's times in my life I miss Jesus. Rivers of water run down my eyes. Do we mourn? Suddenly, where's the Lord? I can't find him. I go backwards, I go forwards, and I can't find him. Where is he, the beloved of my soul? That was Mary on the day of resurrection. You know, sometimes we may mourn even on the Lord's days because we don't sense the presence of Jesus. Sometimes it's because we haven't prepared. We haven't prayed as we ought to have done. We need to recognize that. We haven't given time for Jesus, as we see in the Song of Solomon chapter 5. We need to be aware of that. It's not always the case, but we need to be aware of that. And then we're aware, and where is he? I suggest the Church of Jesus Christ needs to mourn today in view of missing Jesus more often. We think of a day of revival. What's one of the characteristics of revival? An awareness of Christ in the churches. And the meetings go on because Christ is so known in the midst. Oh, that there will be more and more prayer meetings where the people mourn because they miss Jesus. Fourthly, in view of affliction. We're going to sing in a moment those words in Psalm 56 and verse 8. Remember that psalm? David penned it when the Philistines took him in Gath. David had resorted there, but found himself in trouble. We'll record it for us in 1 Samuel 21 verses 10 to 15. He was like a fugitive because of the rage of Saul. He had to flee, and he was there with the Philistines, but found himself in trouble. And he pens these words, Psalm 56, verse 8, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book? He's wandering as a fugitive. He's mourning. He's thinking of his affliction there, his sorrow. Thou tellest my wanderings. We thought last the evening that the Lord is all-knowing. And that he is everywhere. He knows our going out and our coming in, our down sitting and our uprising. Everything's unknown to him. And that humbles us. But it also comforts us, doesn't it? Like it did the psalmist. Thou tellest my wanderings. Thou knowest the path I'm going down. Thou knowest at times I'm not where I want to be. Thou tellest my wanderings. And then you see that trust. As he thinks of his affliction, put thou my tears into thy bottom. Are they not in my book. He's saying it to the Lord. He's entrusting his affliction, his sorrow, his tears to the Lord. You think of tears, they're so delicate. And he entrusts them to the Lord. He thinks of the tender mercy of the Lord. You think when a little baby is crying, you know, taking a child to have an injection, and the little one's smiling, and suddenly the needle goes in, and then they're crying. You hold on to their head and the tears flow into your hand. So delicate are the tears. And you hold the little one. Oh, think of your Heavenly Father. He holds you and he takes your tears. He doesn't forget. Sometimes it's rivers of water, isn't it? But we can trust that stream, that river, unto the Lord. Maybe the unseen tears late at night. Everybody's gone to sleep and you're up crying. Rivers of waters. Remember your sympathizing high priest, Hebrews 4 verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's touched. He knew what it was to cry. Does that not bring us great comfort in affliction? Our heavenly Father holds our tears, and our sympathizing High Priest is touched. Fifthly, in view of the death of loved ones, we can think of rivers of water. Lazarus died and there were many tears. We're told in John 11 verse 30, now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. Then the Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Jesus wept. Mary was weeping. The Jews were weeping. Jesus wept. That's so striking, isn't it? Children here tonight, you can memorize that verse. Jesus wept. He wept over the disbelief of the Jews. The state Mary was in, he wept because his beloved friend had died. The pain of losing a loved one can cause tears to come down over the eye and down the cheek. Rivers of waters can flow down the eye and cheek when you lose a loved one. It's a beloved one who was trusting in Christ, or a little one who was given faith, oh, they may have died. And you know where they are, but still the tears flow. Sixthly, in view of love. Remember that woman who came in before our Lord? We're told in Luke 7 verse 38, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. There she is. She's washing his feet with tears. She must have been crying a lot to be able to wash his feet. Not just one or two tears, but many tears. Our Lord said to Simon a little later, thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. There she is, and she's weeping. And one of the reasons is because of love. I remember a particular time when I so cried out of love to Jesus earlier this year. Oh, to cry more often. been so moved by the love of Jesus, the emotions stirred within and the affections rising up towards heaven, oh, to know rivers of water in view of love. Love to Christ, love to God, love to the brethren. Love for our children, our spouses, our family, our friends, brothers and sisters in the church. Remember those words, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. Do you know what love does at times? It sets us crying out of love for Jesus and love for the brethren. Oh, that our pillows would be more moist in the week. Seventhly, tears in view of hard toil in evangelism. Tears in view of hard toil in evangelism. Remember those words, we often sing them. Psalm 126, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. There's a day of reaping. There's the joy, as in harvest. But oh, there's the toil beforehand. It won't be long to harvest. Harvest seems to get earlier, doesn't it, in this modern age. The farmers will be out soon, gathering in the corn. Think of all the hard work, the sweat and the toil, maybe the frustration, the machinery's gone wrong, but then there comes the joy of a harvest. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy, maybe fruitless nights. In evangelism, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Think of Peter, he was exhausted. The long hours of the night he had been toiling, not just sitting in a boat, relaxing, but just toiling. And he was weary. There can be fruitless nights. There can be much opposition. As we go forth, seeking to evangelize. Psalm 42, verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? You seek to witness, the church goes forth, making known Christ, and there comes the questions, where is now thy God? My tears have been my meat day and night. Many tears are shed by pastors and missionaries in this world. You recall the apostle spoke to the elders of Ephesus in Acts 20, verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. He was warning them. There were those false teachers that could do great mischief in the church. He warned, he directed the elders to be on their guard, and they warned everyone night and day with tears for 3 years. Many tears were shed by the Apostle Paul in those years. The Lord's people know what it is to have sorrow within as they go forth to seek to win souls for Christ. Maybe somebody you're seeking to witness to, maybe in your family or the workplace, and they're giving you a hard time. They just can't see. And you shed tears. For the Lord's people know what it is to have sorrow within. You may know what it is to have a river of water running down your eye and onto the cheek. Now, we thought of many reasons, but let's consider this particular one here in verse 136. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. And as we draw to a close tonight, I'd like us to consider secondly, much zeal for God. Much zeal for God. Rivers of water run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. God's law was despised. Now turn with me to verse 139. My zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. You see his zeal? It had consumed him. He was so zealous for God and for his word. My zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. How could they do that? God's law was despised. Just come over the page to verse 158. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy law. He was so zealous for God and his word. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. How could they do that? He's concerned for the honour of God. We have this word zeal in verse 139. We can think of this holy jealousy for God. He's protective of God and his word. Let me just use an illustration. How do you feel when somebody blasphemes the name of your Saviour? Are you protective for God? Of God. A zeal consumed you. How could they say that? Have we an eagerness towards God? It's all here in this word zeal in 139. For the psalmist is zealous. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. He has much zeal. He desired to have God honoured. And as the Reverend John Brown of Haddington writes, that true holiness would be promoted. There's so little holiness in this nation. There's not enough of it in my life. There's little in the church. Oh, for more in the church and more in the nation. Have we not a concern for the honour of God's name? And that true holiness is promoted. Why? Because we remember those words of the Lord, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." So we have a concern that true holiness is promoted, because we think of the holiness of God as well. Oh, for much zeal, that it would make us cry. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. How zealous are you for God and his word? Is there much zeal that causes you to grieve within? Remember your beloved Saviour. He was zealous, wasn't he? He saw those in the temple selling and buying. And he went and overturned the tables of the money changers and were told this, "Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise." And his disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thy house hath eaten me up." It's eaten me up. Young ones, you know what hunger's like. It begins to eat you up. You get so hungry. And some of you men, and maybe you ladies as well, you know what that's like as well. You get so hungry, and you're focused on it. You're so hungry. Oh, has the zeal of God's house eaten you up? Look at what's happened in this nation. How God's name is despised. How his word is despised. How his day is despised. Do not we desire God to be honoured and his day? Do not we mourn over what we see? Does it affect us? Oh, to pray more often. Oh, for the churches of our land to meet more regularly for prayer, that God would bless the nation and revive the church. Do not we mourn? Listen to Spurgeon. Spiritual men feel a holy fear of the Lord himself. And most of all lament when they see dishonour cast upon his holy name. We feel it. Remember Nehemiah, he hears of the situation at Jerusalem. What's happened to the place where God so favoured? We were told in Nehemiah 1 verse 4, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." I sat down, I wept, I mourned, I felt it within, there was so, and fasted. You know, I begin with myself, I like my food. And you know, here at Cross Lanes, we're known for our suppers, and we're known for our anniversary tea. Are we known also for humbly fasting? It is good to fast. And perhaps we need, as the people of God in this nation, to give more consideration to fasting, to go without food for a little while, that we might give ourselves to prayer. Nehemiah did it. Our Lord did it. Oh, is there not much zeal here for God? Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. He's thinking of the Lord. What have they done to the Lord and his word? Well, in conclusion, thirdly, much compassion for sinners. We've considered much zeal for God, but in conclusion, consider much compassion for sinners. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. He's considered that God has been dishonored by men, and he was zealous, but he also considers men here in compassion. Rivers of water. Remember those words in Philippians 3, verse 18, the apostle is speaking of those, and he's so moved. Philippians 3, verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. He knew certain ones. Now we have to be careful when we read those words. We may think of certain ones, but we do not know. They may yet turn to the Lord. But the apostle here is thinking of certain ones he knew, and he told them, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross. He was so moved. Rivers of waters ran down his eye. He had compassion, pity. He pitied the state they were in. He pitied what they were going to face. Remember again, Jesus wept over the city. Luke 19, verse 41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Tears of compassion. The Puritan Thomas Manton, commenting on these words here in this psalm, as he reflects on the Lord Jesus Christ, he says this: our Lord Jesus is made of compassion. He weepeth not only for his friends, but his enemies. There is much compassion in the heart of Jesus. He was moved. Rivers of water run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. And here upon earth, dear brothers and sisters, he cried as he thought of your disobedience, as he bore your sin, that he cried in compassion and in pity. And are we not thankful that he was so moved in compassion for us? Yes, he was moved in compassion for others there who would not believe. But oh, think of the pity he had on us. We would break God's law, yet he would fully accomplish redemption for us. There was much compassion in the heart of Christ. There was much compassion here in the heart of the psalmist. Is there much compassion in my heart? I fear my pillow is so dry at times. Rivers of water run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. All to mourn. Oh, to have great pity. We feel it, do we not, when they blaspheme the name of our Saviour. God is dishonoured. How could they do that? But do we also have compassion? Do we have pity? Rivers of waters, you will know what it is to cry. The tears will flow. But as we conclude, one day you will stop crying. What a thought that is. There's coming a time when we will never shed a tear again, we who love the Lord. If there's someone here and you're not a believer and you live out your days not a believer, you're going to cry forever. What a thought that will be, and you will be in such pain and agony. But for we who love the Lord, there will come this wipe. A number of years ago, I remember a certain Scotsman who was spent many of his years out in America, the Reverend John Greer. He was speaking on this, what a day it will be when God will just wipe away. You think when somebody's crying and they're given a tissue, You may be crying and somebody's put their hand over your shoulder and given you a tissue. You've given them a tissue to wipe away the tears. What a day it will be when God wipes away the tears at death. And on that great day, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Nothing will upset us in heaven. Nothing. We won't mourn over those who disobey. We won't cry in affliction. We face the valley, and there may be many tears in that valley. At the end of the valley, Jesus will wipe all the tears away. Wipe away all tears. The tears of repentance. We'll never sin again. And so we'll never need to cry over our sins again. We'll never be in pain again. God shall wipe away all tears. But till that time, I pray there will be rivers of waters coming down my face and your face, and that the Church of Jesus Christ would know such rivers again in prayer as we think of this nation and the state of the Church.